It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Valor and Abdallah in for Waddle and Sylvie here on ESPN 1000. If you're watching us on twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, you just got to see me celebrate the third Manchester City goal, the greatest team of all time. The record shall not be broken. In a meaningless game against Liverpool, LOLverpool. LOL.
Meaningless because Liverpool has won the Premier League already.
Yeah, good for them.
In the quickest amount of time ever, actually, with the most games remaining on the schedule.
With
with
an asterisk, anyway. Will this NBA season have an asterisk on it? We go to a man who has been in his own bubble. Nick Friedel joins us on ESPN 1000 on the Corona Hotline. What's up, Nick?
I miss you guys.
Well, Jeff was like, should we talk to Nick today? And I was like, you don't need to convince me to talk to Nick. We'll talk to Nick about anything. Yeah. And then this Jose Quintana news happened. Noted Cub fan. I've been in a bar with you while you wrote a Cubs article once for ESPNChicago.com. What do you think about this Jose Quintana injury?
It makes me hate that trade even more.
Thanks, Cubs!
As a White Sox fan, I love it, Nick, so...
Yeah, I know you do, Mr. Miller. You never want to see anybody get hurt, but it's like that deal from the beginning. You went, this isn't going to feel too great in a couple of years, and now this happens. And baseball is such a disaster anyway in general. So I know you guys have been talking about it for weeks and weeks, but I just cannot get too excited about this baseball season anyway. I think 60 games, and with the way the sport is run, between the players and the owners, it's just I'm not nearly as excited as I would like to be in a normal year, seeing how I think the Cubs could get a little better this season.
Understandable, Nick. I think a lot of people echo those sentiments. So what about this NBA season, the completion to the NBA year inside the bubble? Do you think, based on your discussions with people around the league, that they will actually be able to pull this off?
I think they are going to try, but Jeff, this is the issue for the league. There is such a huge gap still between right now and the end of July when games are supposed to start. And I think what's so crucial, it's kind of getting lost in the shuffle, is all these teams are heading down to Orlando in a few days. That's just as big of a key, because we've seen it with the MLS stuff. When you try to go from outside the bubble and try to get in to the bubble safely and all the players safely in without testing positive, that's a huge chore. And then you try to think, okay, well, what happens between the end of July and potentially for some of these teams, middle of October? There are just so many variables and so many unknowns. There are still a lot of unanswered questions. And for me, I still think it's 50-50 that the league can not only get this bubble up and running, but have it start and finish without any major issues for that three and a half month stretch.
So an additional 9 players tested positive for the coronavirus today, or between June 24th and June 29th, they got the results back. 25 of 351 players have tested positive. Once they get down to Orlando and all these teams start showing up in Orlando, they're going to test everybody again. Is there a number? Is there a threshold? Is there an amount of positive tests that would cause the NBA to say, you know what, maybe we should delay this, maybe we should wait on this? Or is it just going to be like, hey, we'll just roll in some D-League guys and we're just going to do this because there's so much money at stake for the league?
Adam, I don't think there's a specific number, but you hit it right there. $1.2 billion. That is what this is all about. I mean, that is what the whole end game is for the players, for the league, for the league being able to grow in the future. This is why I think there is no threshold in the moment. It's just going to be a feel day by day. And guys, my biggest fear for the league and for the ability for the bubble to proceed is once everybody's in, if a star player gets the virus or tests positive while he's in the bubble and while games are going on, I think that's when fans are going to start to push back and they're going to say, well, you know, if Giannis, LeBron, pick one of those top tier
sure.
games, what are we doing? And is this really the best thing for everybody in the moment? Because then, of course, the playing field just completely shifts and you wonder if the games will be even that interesting for so many fans because they wanted to see those big matchups in the end. So there are so many questions that still need to be answered. It really is a day-by-day thing. But I don't think that the league is sitting there going, okay, if X amount of players test positive, then we have to shut this whole thing down. They're going to feel out what the fan bases are saying, and they're going to just hope that they can contain as best they can. But I tell you this, the numbers the way they are right now, the league will take them and keep pressing forward.
Yeah. Do you think there's any, in retrospect, the way this has played out, Nick, do you think there's any regret that the league maybe didn't just say to themselves, you know what, where it, like the longer we're there, the more risk we're taking on for this to fall apart. Do you think there's any, you know, regret that they didn't just say, you know what, we should have just gone to like the top four teams in each conference and done a condensed playoffs just to try and finish this thing?
Jeff, I don't think there is now, but there could be later. And the reason there's not now is because of exactly what we outlined. There's $1.2 billion on the line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why, like, looking back, I like Adam Silver a lot, but looking back on what he said, you know, the numbers will tell us when it's safe to play again. Yeah, that was ridiculous. And in hindsight, he shouldn't have said that. But the whole point is the league has got to find a way to do what is best financially for the league. And if they feel like they can create this safe environment and still make their money, that's what they have to do. But I can just tell you guys, for so many years, I mean, we talk when I go out to Las Vegas and we'd be at Summer League. And after a few days, the players and coaches on those teams are like, just get me the hell out of here. I want to be done. I don't want this anymore. And that's what worries me just as a fan and a journalist is, there's so much hype around whatever may happen in the next few weeks, but what happens like a month in for some of these guys? Some of these teams, they don't have any chance of potentially pushing in the playoffs and winning a title. I worry that the product that we're so used to seeing from the league just isn't going to be there for a while as these guys find their rhythm again. So, again, there are a lot of fears, there are a lot of worries, but in the end, they will push as hard as they can to do this because of all the money that's on the line.
That leads perfectly into my next question is, you've been around these guys and guys that have been in the league for a while now. You covered the Bulls here for a while, you covered the Warriors, you've been all over the place, you went to China with Kevin Durant and all this kind of stuff. How much do you think these guys are going to buy into this bubble idea? I know they kind of have to by force, because if you leave, you can't come back and all this kind of stuff. But how much are these guys going to buy into being isolated for what could be 3.5 months?
I think that's got to be really, Adam, the league's biggest concern, aside from keeping guys healthy and the obvious with the testing, because – you can say whatever you want right now. Guys are still at home. Guys are still getting their work in at these different facilities across the country. Once you go in, I mean, you're stuck. There's only so much you're going to be able to do. And when you start reading through those guidelines, oh, man. Damian Lillard, I know he mentioned it yesterday in his conference call with reporters. He said, I don't really trust the players to follow all this stuff. And I can just tell you, been around the league as long as I have, I wouldn't really either. I mean, it's just so tough to get so many guys to buy into doing all these different things at once. And in the moment, in the beginning, I think there's going to be a lot of guys that are like, all right, let's do this. This is what we signed up for. But, Adam, to your point, you start going a month in, 2 months in, all of this is going to wear on people. And I'm not the only one that thinks this, but when you listen to these players and coaches, the mental toll that it is going to take, assuming that this thing starts at the end of July and finishes in mid-October, to go through and win on top of everything else that's going on, if this thing actually finishes, count me in the group. I know Austin Rivers said it a few days ago, that believes that this mentally is the toughest title that will ever have been won, because the focus that it's going to take to play at a high level and stay in that bubble, given all the ramifications and the different steps the league is taking to try and protect itself and the players, it is going to be incredibly difficult when all is said and done.
In a lot of ways, Nick, we're talking with Nick Friedel here on ESPN 1000, Miller and Abdallah in for Waddle and Sylvie today. In a lot of ways, you know, you point out, like, look, if Damian Lillard, you know, who's a superstar and has a lot more at stake in terms of, like, just what, you know, and granted the Blazers, you know, are on the outside looking in, but the reality is that Dame Lillard, like a lot of, like, you know, whatever his legacy is, however it's looked at in the playoffs, you know, it sticks to him more so than any other, you know, ancillary player on the Blazers, because they're, you know, for the most part, you know, if you're a secondary player, or if you're just, you know, a guy who's in the seven-man rotation, you know, nobody, you know, pins, you know, playoff series to your, you know, legacy. But for Dame Lillard, you know, people will look at him and say, okay, how far do the Blazers go as a direct result of what Dame Lillard did in the playoffs? So for him, a lot's at stake. Or, you know, if you're talking about the superstars in the league, but for all the other guys, it's more about just cashing the check. And yeah, you'd like to be, you know, considered like, you know, okay, if my team goes farther in the playoffs, I might get a little bit of, you know, praise. But the reality is, it's all about LeBron, Giannis, Kawhi. Their legacy is what's at stake for this championship. And so I wonder, is it more just if they can get past this first month or so, or the first 6 weeks, where, you know, and kind of rid themselves of the rest of the teams, then they actually have a fighting shot. But maybe they're most at risk, Nick, when you're talking about just this first month or so, if they can get through it without having it all fall apart.
No question. And when you talk to all these different people around the league, Jeff, that's exactly what they say, is once you get into the rhythm of it, it will be much easier to handle. But in the beginning, guys are going to look around and go, what are we doing? And how are we going to pull this off day after day after day? I had somebody tell me the other day, can you imagine going to the same hotel room for 90-plus days in a row? Mm. And that's what this boils down to, or whichever teams come out in the end and go to a potential final. So this thing is so, so different. But there are so many different factors for the future. And what I would tell you is, as hard as the league is trying to push to finish this thing out, the biggest worry isn't even so much, all right, let's finish the bubble and let's grab our money while we can. It's next season, guys. I've had more than one person tell me, as tough as this is going to be, next year, playing an entire year, getting the new CBA hammered out, however that's going to change in the future, that's going to be more difficult. Because I was just talking to a player the other day, and he said, do they really think we're just going to hop on a flight and go to the next city and keep going to the next city like it would be a normal year? In December or January, I think that is a very tough ask. And as far as the league is concerned, that is why there's so much focus on the here and now, because the virus is really out of control down there in and around Orlando. That's why I still have a bunch of family, as you guys know. And if the league had to do it over again, of course they wouldn't put it in Orlando, given what's going on. But that's why Adam Silver has pushed off many times and said, hey, we can't outrun the virus. This is the situation that we're in, and we have to do as best we can once everybody gets down there to keep them safe. But there are so many layers to this thing. Just don't get lost on the fact that next year, given what's going on, is going to be very, very difficult for the NBA to pull off in full.
We got to ask you a quick Bulls question. We talked to Malika Andrews a couple weeks ago. She said, look, go by what you see and not what they're doing. What you see is the Bulls not moving in and not interviewing any of these coaches. She's hearing that it's more than likely that Jim Boylan will be back as the Bulls coach. Brian Windhorst was on with Carmen and Yurko yesterday, and he said he doesn't see the Bulls paying two head coaches at the same time, meaning Jim Boylan would get his money while he's not doing anything and a new head coach would come in. And you keep hearing that Michael Reinsdorf, Jerry Reinsdorf, like Jim Boylan, they would like him to get a fair shot as coach of the Bulls. But ultimately, if Arturis Karnišević and Mark Eversley don't want him as the coach, they're free to move on if they want to. So what do you think?
Nick's like, I thought I was off the Bulls beat.
Guys, well, Mr. Dog, you know what I think. And what I think is the Bulls have finally made some moves to freshen things up around there. And Mike Reinsdorf deserves credit for that, finally. They make these changes, and there is hope and optimism in the city again that you give a couple new people a chance and you see what they have to offer. But I can only tell you what I've heard, and what I've heard is exactly what Brian said the other day, which is, hey, don't rule this out. Don't rule out that they give Boylan one last ride and see what happens. The only thing I would tell you is, if the Bulls finally, as an organization, decide, all right, time to switch out Darren Pax, and we're going to finally make the changes that so many fans have wanted for so many years. If you do that, and you have that goodwill, and you build up some optimism, and then you keep Jim Boylan, after all that, good luck to you. The optics, as always, with this team, have never been as important as I feel like they should be. And as much credit as I think Mike deserves for finally making that call, if you make the call and then you hold on to your past, in this case, Jim Boylan, if you're a Bulls fan, you just have to shake your head. Because then what you're saying is, just trust our new guys. Just trust our new guys. But you're already kind of knocking them out at the knees by holding on to this guy that, obviously, the public doesn't like, and from what I can gather, there are plenty of people in the organization that don't like him. So, including some players. So, you know, there are always different issues going on with the Bulls, but they're going to make whatever decision that they make. But if they keep boiling, they're going to get crushed by a lot of fans that have been frustrated for a very long time.
Thanks, Nick.
All right, guys. Miss you.
Good talking to you, Nick. Appreciate it, my man.
Nick Friedel from ESPN.com joining us here on Waddle and Sylvie. Meller and Abdallah in for the guys. Hey, what's the dumbest thing?
You know what, though? Before we get to that, because I don't want to derail us, so I don't mean to step in here, but we got some fresh Theo tape.
Oh, that's in?
We've got the Theo tape. He's responding
to
Jose Quintana's injury. We can hear from
the Theo tape.
Cubs president of baseball operations.
Next.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Jose Quintana underwent microscopic surgery on his left thumb to repair a cut and a lacerated digital sensory nerve in his left thumb after cutting his hand while washing some dishes a couple days ago. He will resume his throwing program in approximately 2 weeks, after which a further determination will be made on expected length of absence. Cubs president of baseball operations Theo Epstein met the media today and talked about a few things, one of them being Jose Quintana. And he started with who will the Cubs look to replace Quintana while he's out?
You know, this injury certainly challenges our depth in an area where, you know, we had some concerns already about our depth. So it's going to be important for certain players to step up and make the most of this opportunity. Clearly, somebody like Alec Mills is well positioned to capitalize on this opportunity and establish himself as a starting pitcher in this league. Colin Ray, who I think led the PCL in ERA last year and pitched really well, moves up the depth chart as well. Albert Azule, who, when he's at his best, is certainly ready to compete as a starter in this league, will have an opportunity to show that he's at the top of his game and fight for a role as well. So Yeah, and just being honest, you know, we had some concerns about our starting pitching depth, and now, you know, a freak injury further challenges us in that area, and we have to respond.
So there you go, Theo Epstein talking about who can and will replace Jose Quintana. I do think, as I mentioned earlier, that he's not going to reveal it, I don't think, to your media, your gathered media on the Zoom conference, because I don't think he wants to tip strategy. But I do believe mentioning Elsley's the perfect guy who would come in and be like a piggyback starter, because I don't think you really want, he hasn't shown that he can excel, you know, going through the lineup more than once, really. So I think Elsley's almost set up perfectly to come in and give you two or three innings if he can get through in a quick fashion.
And like you mentioned before, Alec Mills could come in right after him, and then you can just have somewhat of a bullpen day, but Elsley would be your starter, and then all he has to do is go through a few innings, and then you just hope for the best from the bullpen.
And he mentioned Colin Ray as well. So those are, you know, that sets up almost perfectly for a couple of guys who give you two to three innings. And like you said, you know, it would be your bullpen day. Theo Epstein also talked about Major League Baseball trying to get back to playing baseball amidst the coronavirus and just what their testing protocols will be.
Major League Baseball has made a lot of progress with testing. And by converting the PED lab into a full-time COVID testing lab, we're able to provide the type of testing that's the volume and turnaround and accuracy of testing that is absolutely necessary to even consider this type of endeavor. And they're able to do it in a way that doesn't take resources away from any essential workers in the country. So I think that was a really significant step, and that's certainly something that is different than the environment we were facing back in March. I think there's, you know, been some increased understanding of how the virus operates and best practices to attempt to mitigate its spread. So I think we're better positioned now than we were in March or April. To try to pull off a baseball season. Is it, you know, are we in control, or do we have a guarantee of success? Of course not. You know, the pandemic is in control. We're just, you know, taking the best advice we possibly can and listening to the experts to develop protocols to give it our best attempt. But if it doesn't prove safe, then it's not going to happen.
And part of the reason that the testing is so critical, or maybe, you know, for people out there who don't understand the significance of it, you know, we got to hear yesterday firsthand a very emotional Tommy Hatavi going through his own personal experience having contracted coronavirus and discussing just how difficult the entire, you know, process was for him, you know, and how he has just recently, you know, over the last couple of weeks, finally tested negative and now has gotten over it. Theo talked about Hatavi's message.
First of all, I'm really proud of Tommy Hatavi. You know, I always am, but never more so than yesterday. I think that what he did in sharing his story so openly and at such an important moment really provided a service for our organization and really for the entire industry. By reminding us all how serious this pandemic is. You know, Tommy's story illustrates that nobody is immune from the coronavirus, and that while people who are young and healthy may do better on a percentage basis overall, it's still quite dangerous and even potentially deadly for people of all ages and even people in perfect health. Tommy's 38 years old, a former big league player in great health. And, you know, there were times talking to him, through the course of his struggle that, you know, he sounded like, an elderly person fighting, fighting for, you know, for breath. And it was what Tommy went through and what his family had to go through was something that he wishes on nobody. We wish on nobody. He was extremely brave, and his family was as well through the entire process. So we're really proud of him, and we hope that by sharing his story, it provides a stark and sobering reminder for all of us in the industry to take this extremely seriously, because we're responsible not only for our own health and well-being, but for everybody in the game and their families, players, staff, media, fans, everybody is affected. So I was proud of Tommy, and I thank him for what he did.
And I'll add to Theo's comments there that hopefully anybody who maybe didn't take this as seriously as they need to be taking it simply by wearing a mask, hopefully hearing Tommy Hadavy, a perfectly healthy 38-year-old man who is, you know, who's been a pitcher at the professional level, hopefully hearing his comments yesterday will encourage everybody out there to at least, at the very least, wear a mask, not just for your own safety, but for others around you.
Yeah, I feel like that's the biggest part about Tommy Hadavy coming forward, is saying that, hey, look, you guys are all young. You guys are all, you know, in your mid-20s. You're in the prime of your health. You're in the prime of your careers. It doesn't mean you can't get it. It doesn't mean it won't affect you. You could get it and be asymptomatic and be cool for 2 weeks, and you're like, you know, and Jeff Passan said it today that he's hearing from players that are like, I'm healthy, but I'm still testing positive. When can I come back? It's like, well, when you test negative a few times, dude,
yeah,
that's
and,
when. That's
and,
when.
And guess what?
Because look at what happened to Tommy Hadavy, and we don't want that to happen to Joe Maddon, and we don't want that to happen to Dusty Baker. We don't want that to happen to someone who's more at risk than, you know, 25-year-old. I don't know how old Hadavy is off the top of my head, but I just said 25 because that's like, what, you know,
yeah, I think he's 26.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. The younger players, they might be fine, but then you might get a younger player who's affected by it the way Tommy Hadavy was.
Again, just because most, you know, people in their 20s, they're, you know, young, healthy adults are not adversely affected, the larger percentage, you don't know if you're one of those guys. And again, I don't want to just make this, put this on the players. Again, hopefully all our listeners out there, please wear a mask. Mm-hmm. We've talked about it. You know, it's been, we've adopted the slogan of the show, of the Waddle and Sylvie show. If you want ball in the fall,
wear a mask.
Wear a mask.
Yep,
it's that
absolutely. Speaking of Waddle, Jeff Mellor's going to do his best Tom Waddle impression next. Is that going to be Slam 6 Coors Light, or is it going to be reading Waddle's World Stories? Find out next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
All right, momentarily here, while I pull up my Waddle's World intro, not intro, but the sponsorship, Waddle's World is brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, Chicago's banks. To find the nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC.
I just fired Tyler.
No, don't fire Tyler. It happens.
Dude. It's 4th of July. We're all Gucci.
We're already, we're just lighting off the fireworks. No worries. All right. So, sorry, I would have had that prepped and ready to go during the intro, but unfortunately, I was not, as we were discussing more important things in the break. Now, to Waddle's World. All right, so if you're just joining us, you may have missed what we've been talking about most of the show, that the Cubs, Jose Quintana, has had surgery on his thumb following an accident washing dishes. Mm-hmm. And you know that this will go down now in the future for all time, basically, in Chicago. Jose Quintana, remember when he injured his thumb washing dishes? That's always going to be part of Q's legacy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's it. That's what happens.
We all know Sammy Sosa hurt his back sneezing. We all know Jose Quintana cut his finger.
We know Brian Griese injured his ankle tripping over a dog.
Didn't Carlos Boozer injure a shoulder falling over a bag?
Yes. And over
his
gym
hand.
Bag, yep.
His bag. His gym bag.
Yeah, a gym bag. Jordan cut his finger
on
a cigar cutter.
Derek
Rose cut himself on
trying to cut an apple, even though we all believe he only ate gummy bears.
Mm-hmm.
He, I believe, admitted to only eating gummy bears for a long period of time.
Well, sometimes you eat an apple. Sometimes you don't have any gummy bears.
Sometimes you've run out of all your gummy bears and you need to cut an apple, and that's when you end up injuring yourself.
It happens to the best of us.
So, yes, Jose Quintana, he had
What's your wackiest injury? 312-332. Sorry.
That's right. So he suffered a laceration on his left thumb that required 5 stitches. He's expected to start throwing again in 2 weeks, and then the Cubs will determine how long he will be out. So that is the news that is affecting Chicago most, also in Waddle's World. NBA announces that 9 more players test positive for COVID-19, bringing the total to 25. They The NBA has also said that 10 of 884 team staff members who were tested were positive for coronavirus since the NBA began testing on June 23rd. 351 players have been tested for the coronavirus, and only, what was the total number? 20, what's the total number? Do you have it? Total of 25.
25, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I got lost in my notes there. See, Tyler, you threw me off. I'm blaming you. I wasn't in my rhythm because we didn't have our open.
There's a guy in the Twitch chat that said he cut himself showcasing knives. I'm about to ask him if he sold more knives after he cut himself.
Mm, interesting.
Wasn't that like,
yeah, I think that would,
like, look at how great these knives are. I just cut off a finger.
I feel like that would be a deterrent. If you were demonstrating knife use to me.
He said he sold more.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. I'm surprised.
I mean,
by that.
It's a selling point, right? Look at how great this knife is. I just cut off my pinky. Take me to the hospital. Now you're guilting the people into buying the knives. You're like, look at how good these knives are. I'm bleeding all over your carpet.
Gotta say,
buy some knives.
Gotta say, I'm not going to be more prone to buying a knife set if you're cutting yourself trying to demonstrate it.
I mean,
if you're the expert, you're demonstrating it to me, and you cut yourself, I'm probably less likely.
I'm not buying the expert. I'm buying the knives.
Spurs' DeMar DeRozan is critical of NBA's safety manual. The quote, the ping pong thing, no doubles.
Hold on. Time out. Breaking news.
Oh, breaking news, Tyler. Do you know where the breaking news sound effect is? Hold on. Wait. Can I find the breaking news sound effect quicker than Tyler can? I think I can. Let me get to it. Wait for it. Almost there. I'm on the... Where is it at? No, I thought I could, but I...
This is breaking news on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000.
The NBA is coming to Chicago. What do you mean, you ask?
What do you
mean? Adrian Wojnarowski. The NBA is closing in on signing off on a second bubble in Chicago for the 8 teams that were not invited to play in Orlando, enabling mini training camps and subsequent games against other clubs with a target date of September, sources have told ESPN's Jackie McMullen.
So there
Jim
you go.
Boylan finds life once again.
Jim Boylan has not coached his last game as the Bulls head coach. You have to believe he would likely to head up that second setup there. Interesting.
Can't wait. More games, more people.
More bad Bulls action
more
for you.
More bad Bulls
season.
Basketball.
All right, so we will probably talk about that later in the show. But DeMar DeRozan is critical of the NBA safety manual. Quote, the ping pong thing. No doubles is ridiculous, to be honest, DeRozan said on Thursday. Guys can't do this, but we can do this and battle over each other. That part just doesn't make any sense to me. I got through 10 lines of the handbook and just put it down because it became so frustrating and overwhelming at times because you just never thought you'd be in a situation of something like this. So it's hard to process at times.
He's right, though.
Absolutely.
Why can't we play doubles if we're playing playing basketball?
I'm going to box you out.
Yeah.
I'm going to double team you, you know, in transition.
I'm going to take a charge. I just burped while I said that. I'm going to take a charge.
But we can't play doubles ping pong.
That's ridiculous.
I think it's a fair criticism by DeMar DeRozan. I'm not going to lie, Abdallah. Ben Simmons says that he's ready to fully participate in practice and games. Simmons hasn't played since February 22nd when he hurt his back in the first quarter of a loss to the Bucks and did not return. But, quote, I'm feeling better than I was when I started the season. So Simmons said he's been working out since he had the injury. Working till now to prepare for whatever happens whenever they're ready to go. So there you go, Ben Simmons feeling good and healthy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Ja Morant says that he has put on 12 pounds of bulk during the NBA hiatus.
Okay.
Morant, listed at 6'3", 175 pounds, said that he added the weight during the 3-plus-month break. He also said his right knee, which was repaired in minor arthroscopic surgery last June, is stronger now than it has been throughout a rookie campaign, highlighted by several spectacular dunks. So John Morant's ready to go, feeling good.
What is with all these NBA? Did you see the picture going around of Zion Williamson today?
I did.
What?
He's ripped.
I thought that we all came to an agreement that we were going to put on weight during the pandemic, during the quarantine.
They are. They're putting on bulk.
No. Not muscle. We're all going to watch Netflix. We're all going to watch Tiger King. We're all going to sit here and watch hours and hours of TV, and we're all going to put on a little extra. We're all going to have our own inner tube when it comes to this season. And you've got guys shaming us like Zion Williamson. He lost 25 pounds of fat. 25 pounds of fat. He gained 10 pounds of muscle.
Yes. So 15 pounds lighter, but with 10 pounds of mass.
He looks like a different person.
He does. He does.
I mean, he looks the same, and, but he looks like he's built like a different person now.
I'm going to tell you, I did not sign off on your agreement to add the intertube. I've been working out, doing some performance training with my son during our COVID. I think I told you on the air that that was my plan, so we just couldn't come to an agreement. We were like the MLB players and owners. We couldn't come to an agreement.
Well, I how knew we were going to put on weight from the jump. I just didn't want to tell you, and I'm going to go on Dan Patrick and say it.
I'm perfectly happy where I'm at this point. So it is a, you know, if you're going to get out on the beach, Abdallah, you know, if you're
gonna get out on the beach,
why not? There's nowhere else to go. You might as well congregate on the beach.
I'm not leaving my porch.
Inter Milan has signed Ashraf Hakimi from Real Madrid.
Okay.
5-year contract for a fee of $45 million plus add-ons.
Fun fact, Ashraf is my middle name.
I did not know that.
That's the AAA. That's the second A in Adam Ashraf Abdallah.
Adam Ashraf Abdallah.
That's my name.
He cannot change your flat tire on the road.
I cannot.
But he can still be known as AAA.
I probably could. I've changed the tire before. I could probably do it again.
If someone called you in a pinch, you'd be there?
Probably.
All right, nice.
I mean, yeah, I'm going to charge you.
Okay.
Like AAA does.
Yeah.
Okay.
But hey, you can do it.
I can still do it.
Tennis, world number one Novak Djokovic and his wife, Jelena, have tested negative for COVID-19. The announcement from his media team comes 10 days after disclosing they had contracted the disease. The top-ranked player tested positive for the virus after playing in an exhibition series he organized in Serbia and Croatia amid the pandemic. No social distancing was observed at the matches in Belgrade and Zadar, Croatia. So there you go. Novak Djokovic is COVID-free after testing positive
and infecting
10 days ago.
An entire party.
Yeah. Yes.
Good for him.
So there you go. They are good. All right. I've got, what do we got? We have some Alabama folks going out of their way to try and get COVID out of the way. We will talk
about
that.
They don't get the Roll Tide. They don't deserve the Roll Tide. They don't get the Roll Tide.
Maybe they're just taking your advice, Abdallah, and trying to build that herd immunity.
That's for football teams and football teams only.
We'll give you that story next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Abdallah, you're familiar with that place, right?
Roll Tide, roll. Yes, I am.
Some young people in Alabama are throwing COVID-19 parties.
No. Just, you can say it. They're students at the University of Alabama. They're idiots.
A disturbing competition where people who have coronavirus attend and the first person to get infected receives a payout, local officials have said. The parties are being held in Tuscaloosa and infected people are urged to attend so others can intentionally contract the virus. City Council member Sonia McKinstry told CNN she said that she heard about the trend from fire officials. We thought that was kind of rumors at first. We did some research. Not only do the doctor's offices confirm it, but the state confirmed they also had the same information, she said. During a presentation to the city council this week, Fire Chief Randy Smith also said that young people in the city are throwing parties with a payout if they catch coronavirus. The first person confirmed by a doctor to have coronavirus after the exposure wins the money made off the ticket sale, she said. Over the past few weeks, there have been several parties in the city and surrounding areas, and probably more that officials don't know about, she added. Quote, it makes me furious, McKinstry said. Furious to the fact that something that is so serious and deadly is being taken for granted. Not only is it irresponsible, but you could contract the virus and take it home to some of your parents or grandparents. The city is working on getting the word out and breaking up such parties. It also passed a mask ordinance this week that goes into effect on Monday. So there you go. You were encouraging herd immunity, Abdallah.
I was not. I was saying that football players, and it has come out that a few athletic directors have heard from, have heard from players that they want to get the virus now and get it over with so they can play ball in the fall. I wasn't kidding. These kids don't deserve the Roll Tide that they have been so lucky to attend. They don't deserve it. They should be expelled. One of two things should happen. They should either be expelled, or they should have to go into a socially distanced conference room or lecture hall and be yelled at by Nick Saban one by one. Because I feel like that would set it in stone for them. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You're willingly...
Listen.
Like, kids do some dumb stuff. There's been a lot of dumb things. Kids ate Tide Pods. Kids were eating Tide Pods. I get it.
Do you think they were...
Why is this happening again?
Is Jesse calling you?
No, Sylvie did this last time. He's calling me again. Mm. I bet you it's a butt dial.
Yeah.
Last time you and I were in this space, he called me again, and it was a butt dial. I'm hoping it's a butt dial
again. Maybe he doesn't like the Alabama story, and he wanted to weigh in.
No, it's stupid. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Please don't hold coronavirus... parties,
what is wrong with
folks? It's
Texas just mandated mask. Ohio just mandated mask. California shut down again. What is wrong? What is wrong with the youth?
You don't want it. I know you think you're young and healthy. We played Tommy Hadavy yesterday. Theo talked about Tommy Hadavy sharing his story and how impressed he was by that and how proud of Tommy Hadavy he was. If you missed Theo, we'll play that later in the show. But you don't want coronavirus. Don't, wear a mask. Don't have parties. That's it. There's nothing more to be said. Take it seriously.
Wash your hands, wear a mask, vote.
Wash your hands.
Don't have stupid parties. Oh, my God.
Vanilla Ice has called off a concert in Austin, Texas after
this guy.
Backlash over rising COVID-19 numbers.
I'm just glad he decided to stop collaborating and listen to someone.
Yes.
Goodbye. I'm done for the day.
A loophole in Texas
Tyler
Governor...
Tyler didn't get that one. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Do you know...
Wait.
Real quick. Tyler, this is where we educate Tyler on the past, on recent history. Tyler, last week he learned who Gallagher was, the comedian Gallagher, and the video game Galaga. He learned the difference last week. Today, Tyler, do you know... that Vanilla Ice, before he became a reality TV star, and a DIY expert, he was actually, in the early 90s, a pop music star.
A rapper.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to one-up you. I have technically been to a Vanilla Ice concert.
Well, didn't he?
No.
Oh, really?
I was at a Bucks game in Milwaukee, and he performed at halftime. That does count.
So did he stop, collaborate, and listen?
He doesn't know what the song
You don't know what that is.
No.
You don't know. It's the beginning of Ice Ice Baby. Stop, collaborate, and listen.
Okay.
Ice is back with a brand new invention.
Invention or addition? Invention. I don't know. Whatever. He also was in the
Go ahead,
Turtles
Wayne, Sean. I know you want to. I see Sean go Davis ninja, back there wanting ninja, to jump go, in with go, his ninja, Vanilla go, Ice go, knowledge.
Just stop right now.
What?
Just stop.
Sean.
That's enough Vanilla Ice for today.
Sean, I thought you were going to come in and do some karaoke action for us.
Oh, no. You thought I was going to pick it up from where you guys left off?
Yes. Absolutely, Sean.
Absolutely not.
Sounds like a disgusted man back there.
Have you seen Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze?
What?
Vanilla Ice is in it. He sings Go Ninja Go.
I know.
He's at the concert scene in the very last scene of the movie.
Now that you say it, I remember it, but I had forgotten about it.
Come on.
All right. Anyway, maybe later in the show we can sample a little bit of Vanilla Ice.
Just for Sean.
Sean clearly wants to hear a little Vanilla Ice before the show ends. So, all right. Pizzeria Pastelero gets popped by police. An Arkansas man shot out the front window of a Little Rock pizzeria after arguing with an employee about a purported paucity of toppings on a pie he ordered, police allege. Really? I'm supposed to read this on the air?
That's what the smoking gun will get you.
Michael Brown, 44, was arrested on multiple felony charges following a violent confrontation Monday afternoon at the Pie Five restaurant. According to a Little Rock Police Department report, after Brown and a female acquaintance placed an order, Brown became upset about the portion size of the order. Specifically, Brown thought he was shorted on his pizza toppings. When Brown asked to speak with a manager, worker Ebony Smith called her supervisor and handed the phone to Brown. Brown subsequently threw the phone at Ms. Smith, striking her on the side of the face. After another Pie Five employee asked Brown to leave, he began arguing and went outside. Brown retreated to his work van and walked back to the business holding a gun. Brown was unable to enter the pizzeria since a worker had locked the front door. Unable to gain entry, Brown shot out the glass to the front door. Cops charge. Brown then drove away from the restaurant in a white van carrying the name of his drain cleaning business.
Oh, that's smart.
And the firm's 800 number.
That's smart.
During a police interview, Brown reportedly admitted that he was angered by the, quote, portion size of the food he was given at Pie Five and got more upset and threw the phone. He then stated he went to his work van and grabbed the gun and shot out the pizzeria's window. So there you go. He was apprehended. Good news.
Coming up next, yeah, that's why shooting at stuff. Don't shoot at pizzerias. Just eat your toppings. Enjoy your toppings. Enjoy your toppings. So, but I didn't know I was going to have this question for our next guest, but could our next guest be returning to the booth sooner than we thought? We'll ask him next.